Not coming through. There we go. I thought the curse of the sound was on me again. Let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. I'm going to begin reading at verse 5. John writes, "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word has no place in our lives." Just so far this evening, would you bow your heads as we just pray together? Father, the words of that last song are so dear to us, and it's so dear to us especially now as we come to your word. We pray that you would lead us to the cross, Lord, where we find you, we find your love, your grace, your truth for us. And so, Father, we pray that you would show us once again just who you are for us in your Son, Jesus Christ, through your word this evening. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Amen. Recently, I was doing something that I don't often do, and that was read the newspaper. But recently, I can't even remember what newspaper it was, but nevertheless, I found myself with a newspaper in front of me, and I was paging through it, and I normally start at the back section, look through the sport first, the interesting stuff, and then jump to the front and catch up on the news of the day. And so I was somewhere in the middle, and my eye caught this advert in the newspaper. I remember it was a bright red advert, and it was an advert of one of the car manufacturers advertising a new car. And they were advertising this new car at a ridiculously cheap price. I mean, it was almost like a giveaway, I can remember. And quickly, I was invited to think that, yes, finally, Mark, you'll be able to own a new car. Maybe just you'll have enough on the payments each month to drive a new car. And so it got me quite excited, and I was very much drawn to this advert, and I was really picturing myself driving this new car through town, checking everybody out, saying, "Hello, check my new car out." But I don't know, something made me kind of look at the small print that was underneath this big advert. And in the small print, I kind of found that my desire was suddenly killed in a moment, and my excitement and my anticipation. Because the small print read that the price that I saw advertised before me did not include the luxuries of the car, the air conditioning, the service plan. It did not include electric windows, and the list went on, and that kind of killed my excitement and my enthusiasm for the advert and for the thought of driving a new car. And so what was inviting about that advert became less inviting because of the small print. I'm sure some of you can identify with me. Sometimes we've been hoodwinked into the adverts of medical aids or insurances promising the world to us, and yet in the small print, just take our world from underneath us. Well, tonight's passage from 1 John is a kind of advert to us, an advert about Christianity. John's purpose in this book is found in verse 3, where he writes, "We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." And so what John is advertising through this book to us is what he has come to know and experience in his life, and that namely being a relationship, fellowship with God Almighty through his Son Jesus Christ. And so it's an advert for Christianity. And so in the big bold letters on this advert, we find in verse 5 these compelling words, these words that should invite us to be excited about having a relationship with God, becoming sons and daughters of God, and enjoying fellowship with God Almighty. And it's those words we read in verse 5. God is light. In him there is no darkness. God is light. In him there is no darkness. That's the advert. That's the invitation to Christianity. That's the message that John wants to pass on to us that he has received from the Son of God, the Word of life, Jesus Christ. But what does that mean? What makes that phrase or that sentence so inviting for us that we want to desire a relationship with God, that we want fellowship with our Creator? Well, I think the next verse gives us a clue as to what John means when he refers to God as being light. Have a look with me at verse 6. He says, "If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth." He could have easily said, "We lie and do not live by the light." But he rather chooses to substitute light for truth in this instance. And so it seems that John equates light with truth, but prefers to use the word light to advertise, to entice us, to invite us to come into a relationship with God Almighty, because of the fact that he is all the source and all measure of truth itself. But why? Why would John want to use light to describe God's truth? Well, I think for some people in John's day, and I think maybe even for some people in our day today, God and his ways or his truth seem to be like that car advert that I saw in the newspaper. Promises us much, but underlying that promise is a dark side, a hidden side, a kind of side that robs us of the excitement and joy of being in relationship with God. A truth that wants to trip us up, a truth that wants to be selfish, a truth that doesn't have our ultimate good at the heart of it. I don't know if you've heard, but I have, of people who say, "Yes, I know that God loves me. I know that God wants good things for me, but I also know that God is an angry God, that all he wants to do is punish people because that of what they've done is wrong. He's a God that just wants to kill our joy and our pleasure in life. God is only interested in himself and no one else." But John knows that this is far from the truth of who God is. And so he uses the word light to describe God as truth, to convey the idea that God's truth is inviting. It is one that we should desire and want for our own lives. It is a truth that has our best at heart all the time. There is no dark side to God's truth because it is light for us. I mean, let's think of the value of light just for a moment. Light helps us avoid danger. Light helps us reach our destination. Darkness hides dangers. Darkness prevents us getting to where we need to be. Light exposes the dangers in the darkness. Light brings warmth and enjoyment, where darkness brings gloom and doom. And so the value of God being the source and measure of all truth is conveyed in a positive sense by John here, by the use of this word light. God's truth is light. He is open and honest about who he is and what he expects of us. There is no small print. There's no hidden agenda with God. God clearly and openly shares who he is and what he expects of us, and what the result of a life lived in relationship with him will look like and result in. But John emphasizes this as he goes on to say, God is not only light, but he says, in him there is no darkness at all. As I said, there's no small print with God's truth. There's no hidden agendas here with God. There's nothing about God and who he is that should be uninviting to us, should be detriment to our own lives. He doesn't want to cheat us out of life. He doesn't want to cheat us out of the pleasures of life. In fact, God wants to give us life and life in the full, as he promises us in his word. John wants us to know that. And so he uses this word light to describe God to us, as God being light who exposes the dangers and leads us to the life that he wants us to enjoy, that he created us for, the life of enjoying him and experiencing him as our loving Father forever. And so light has no darkness to it. God has no darkness to him. There are no small prints attached to this advert about God. All of his ways, including the ways he expects of us and the ways he deals with us, all encompass the light of his truth. And so God is light. He is truth. There is nothing uninviting about God and his desire to be in relationship with us. But how do we respond and enjoy relationship with God? How do we enjoy fellowship with the light? Well, John goes on to say in verse 7, if we walk in the light, or if we live in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Sin is what prevents us from enjoying fellowship with God. Sin is what prevents us from enjoying a relationship with God. Sin means that we've missed the mark of God's truth, the ways of God that he expects for our lives. It means that we've rebelled against those ways and we've done what has seemed right in our own eyes. Sin prevents us from walking in the light. Sin prevents us from enjoying the life God created us to live. And so we need to step out of the darkness, John says, and into this light, into this truth about life and about who God is for us and desires to be for us, so that we may enjoy relationship with God Almighty. The Bible is also clear that we as human beings love the darkness. We find great pleasure in pleasing ourselves instead of God. In fact, in John's gospel book he writes previous to this one, he writes this: light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. And so there is a darkness of sin that needs purifying in our lives, purifying in our hearts. There's this desire for darkness that needs to be transformed into a desire for what is true in the light of God. And God's truth in his word directs us in how we can enjoy this heart change in our hearts and in our lives. It happens when we believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in his Son and what he has done for us. Again, John says to us that it's Jesus' blood that washes our sin away. It's Jesus' blood and what he did for us on the cross at Calvary that changes our hearts into a heart that now desires the truth of God. A heart that desires to walk in the light that God is for us. Again, John has spelled this out in his gospel, and he says, everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds might be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. Hearts that desire to walk in the light are hearts that have been worked on by God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Hearts that have been changed, hearts that have been transformed by this truth. And so in order to have fellowship with God, first of all, we must live in the light. We must live in the truth of His Word and do that through believing in the purifying nature of His Son, Jesus Christ. But in saying that, John also says that if we live in His ways, we also must not have hidden agendas. We also must not have small print in our relationship with God. We must have no inviting truth, no schemes or traps in our relationship, in our fellowship with God. It must be a complete walk, a complete embracing of God's truth. In verse 6, he says, we can't claim to have fellowship with God, fellowship with the light, and yet walk in the opposite manner, live in the opposite manner. That would be like the small print in the advert that I had mentioned to you early on. For John goes and says, we lie and do not live by the truth. We must be open. We must be truthful as God is with us. And so if we claim to live in the light of God's truth, our lives must shine forth that truth. There must be no uninviting truth to others who might see us as being ones who live in the light. Unlike that advert that I had mentioned earlier on, we must say what we mean. So often our lives are lived with so much small print in terms of our relationship with God. God, I'll love you unconditionally if you'll do this or that for me. God, I will follow your ways if you follow my ways as well. God, I'll give you my all if only you give to me what I want. God, I'll be selfless if you make me prosperous and successful. We can't live in the light if our conditions are blocking the light. We can't live in the light if our small print for God is blocking His truth in our lives. And as verse 7 says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood of His Son purifies us from all that small print, from all that uninviting conditions that we place on our relationship with God. And so God is light. In Him there are no hidden agendas. There are no small prints. And if we are to have fellowship with Him, then we too ought to live openly and honestly before Him, embracing His full truth in our lives. We must be walking in the light as He is in the light. But secondly, the invitation to be in relationship with God because He is light is the truth that God knows that we are not purified or perfect just yet. God doesn't expect us to live these lives that are pure and sinless. No. John clarifies this for us in verse 8 to 10, and he says that we can't claim to now be without sin. We can't claim to say that because we've been purified by the blood of Jesus Christ, we suddenly now live a life of perfection. Because when we do say that, we realize that in fact we do live in sin. And therefore, there must be some hidden agenda. There must be some small print that of God's truth that we didn't read in the first place. The truth of the fact is that the blood of Jesus Christ does purify us before God. It's that big theological word, justification. When we believe in Jesus Christ, we become before God just like we had never sinned. We are pure. We are perfect before Him. We are enabled to have fellowship. We are enabled to have a relationship with God. That means our past sin, our present sin, and our future sin have been taken care of by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that we stand before God right, both now and forevermore. But what does that have to do with the sins now that we commit tomorrow? Well, those sins will still be there. Even though we try and not commit them, even though we're responding to God's truth, trying and striving to walk in the light, we will still have those moments where we stumble and we fall, and we find ourselves doing what God doesn't want us to do. And it will cause us to have heartache in our hearts. It'll cause us to be sore that we've let God down. It'll cause us to regret what we've done. And we'll feel like we've messed up with God and we've failed Him. We've disappointed Him. But the inviting part of God being light is that He knows that. He knows that. And He says to us that He knows that we're not going to consistently walk in Him, not just yet. There's a day coming when we'll see Him face to face and we'll be in His presence, when we'll enjoy that truth in its reality. But for the moment in our striving to live for Him and in those failures, God knows. And He's taking care of that. As He says to us in His Word, that all we need to do is come to Him as the light and confess our sins. And He will be faithful and He will be just to forgive us our sins and restore us in a right relationship with Him. In other words, God says to us, come to Me. Come to Me when you feel like you've had hidden agendas or the small print in your life has got the better of you. Come to Me and I'll apply the light of My truth to your life and restore you in fellowship with Me. You see, if we claim that God has hidden truths, if we claim that God has not told us the full truth, because we're not completely purified yet of our sin, then in fact, John says, we are accusing God of being a liar, and His truth is not in us in the first place. The truth is that before Him, He has purified us in Jesus. And the sins that we do commit now and into the future have been taken care of at the cross. And He wants to help us not let those sins get the better of us. But He wants to draw us in those sins to Himself and His truth in Jesus Christ. What an invitation. What an invitation by Jesus. What an invitation by God, who He offers us a relationship with Him. He is all truth, and He knows all truth. He knows what He wants, and He knows what we need. There is no small print with God, but He openly and honestly invites us, you and me, to embrace His truth and enjoy relationship with Him. We don't have to worry when it comes to God and our relationship with Him about hidden agendas or maybe a dark side to His truth. No. Whatever we're going through in life, we can come to God's truth knowing that He only desires the best for us. What He expects is not overbearing. What He expects of us is not impossible or beyond our means. He is open, and His truth sets us free to live in relationship with Him. I don't know about you, but I praise God this evening that when it comes to God and our relationship with Him, there's no small print. There's no hidden agenda. God desires to be in relationship with us. Let's pray together. Father God, thank You so much for this reminder, maybe to some, maybe the first time that we're hearing this, Lord, that You are light, that You desire a relationship with us, and there is no selfish, there is no darkness to that truth. There's no hidden agenda with You, Lord. But You know that the best for us, the best for these lives here is for us to be connected to You in relationship, to share, to participate in that truth that You are for us through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord God, that advert for us this evening of your invitation to be in relationship with us does put our lives in perspective, does allow us to be able to handle anything that comes our way, knowing, Father, that you've only got what is good for us in store. Lord, even if it means, Lord, that you allow suffering in our lives, even if it means you allow some challenges in our lives that cause us to stress and to have anxiety, Lord, even if it means that you bless us with so many different things, you have got a good purpose, you've got a good agenda. You are being truthful and honest with us, that you allow all these things to draw us into a closer relationship with you. So thank you, Father. Thank you that there is no hidden agenda with you. Help us to live in response to that truth, day in and day out. We ask this in your precious name. Amen.